Welcome to track 5 in this masterclass for surviving our sewer society. And in this track, we're going to go deep into perhaps the most important prison of all, the mind prison. And this is by far my favorite topic in all of life, the mind, and the way our minds create our reality. Is by far the most interesting topic that I have ever discovered. See, when this work began for me nearly 20 years ago, I thought it was about getting what you want. Because back then I believed that the key to living your most amazing life was doing what you want. But over time I came to see, and this is the three definitions of freedom we talked about and we'll go deeper into, that it's not what you do or what you have that measures the quality of your life. By far, what matters most to living our most magical lives, if not the only thing that matters to living our most magical lives, is how you think about it, is the quality of your thinking, how good you are in the mind. And so what is the mind? Think of the brain as the instrument that seemingly thinks, and think of the mind as your ability to direct that brain. Some people might call it attention or awareness. Where you put your awareness, where you put your attention, is your life. How you choose to think in life is your life. And we've covered this topic all the way through this masterclass, haven't we? We've talked about the prisons and the sewer traps, but also that in each of these prisons, the work prison, the financial prison, the time prison, it is becoming free in our minds. That is the key to seeing the opportunities that set us free. Yes, the prisons are very real indeed, but when we become free of the mind prison, already we are so far along to setting ourselves free. And this is the real opportunity. In the work prison, we talked about the challenges so many of us face, hating our jobs, feeling stuck. But also, that when we wake up and look around, we see a world of more and more opportunity. Right? It's not as though any of us are in a chain gang or a concentration camp like Viktor Frankl. We're not Andy Dufresne, an innocent man locked in a prison having to physically climb through the sewer to his freedom. Nobody forces you to stay stuck in your job. What keeps you trapped in the work prison is being stuck in the prison of the mind, believing you're trapped. And when you begin here, by choosing to change your thinking, you shed that case of the Mondays that keeps so many people trapped. The cynicism, the whining, that keeps so many people stuck in their jobs. And you unlock yourself by looking for opportunity. You see the keys we talked about, that no matter where you're headed, the opportunity is from where you are right now. And when you hone in on crushing your job, you feel more amazing right now. And this is the source of your greatest opportunity. When you can orient your mind right, you can focus on those other opportunities around you. Instead of feeling stuck, you can see you have lots of choices. And just by orienting yourself in the right direction, you keep yourself moving forward, swimming through the sewer, escaping the work prison by creating more opportunity in your current job. And more opportunities. This too isn't just about creating more freedom to create the careers we truly want. This is about our minds, our happiness, how we think and feel every day, and once our jobs are long behind us. See, and this is a subtlety here. But the sewer trap of negative thinking in our job is that the negative thinking isn't in our job. It's in our heads. And when our jobs are long gone, we've still conditioned our heads for being this way. I've had a number of clients who've retired from high-paying jobs. They've made all their money. They've got everything you could imagine would make them happy, but they're not. And they don't understand why. Because that anxiety, fear, worry, their lack of happiness that they had in their jobs, those mental muscles that they built out, they take with them. Like a strong bicep, if you've built a strong worry muscle, it will soon find something else to grasp onto. And so the sewer of negative thinking isn't just about our jobs, it's about our minds. And not just about setting us free in our work, setting us free in our lives. Setting yourself free of the mental prison is also the key to setting yourself free from the financial prison. As we talked about, when you begin to see we've never had more opportunity, we've never had more ways to make money, we've never been more abundant, yet so many of us still live in minds of scarcity and insecurity. And it's not just about those who have more lack in life. As we talked about on the weighing machine, even many people who've made a lot of money still feel themselves weighed down, unable to get rid of that insecurity. This is the real key to the opportunity, when we can free our minds from scarcity and fear and insecurity. No matter how much money we have, we can feel more and more financially free. And when we do this, we begin to think differently and see more of the opportunity around us. We talked about the only source of all money is the mind, and creating more and more and more value. How can you create value, 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 and drive your income for creating more financial security? How can you create more value, value, value in your current job by crushing it and by creating more and more opportunities to pay you more and more value? When we first free our minds from the financial prisons, now we're more and more open to this opportunity. And we find it much easier to navigate the sewer traps around us. When you're feeling secure and you're feeling amazing about money, it's much harder to get dragged into the sewer traps of consumption and debt, the savings prisons. Just feeling more secure with what you have, you've already developed more financial security, and you unleash yourself for going into the world creating more money. The same is true with the time prison. It begins and ends in our minds. How we think about our time, how we think about our life, is our life, is how we use our time. And when you free yourself from the mind prison, you free yourself to use the time of your life. In that track, we talked about the three levels of freeing your mind for freeing your time. Level one, becoming so badass at the basics, at the fundamentals of what traps us with our time. The thinking mind, the feeling body, the distractions in our society, and how you can hone in on what matters most and get organized and prioritize how you use your time. and I encourage you to go through track 7 in detail, the system for unleashing your time. Level 2, we talked about the sewers. They're all sewers of the mind, aren't they? And how you think about your time. And in freeing your mind for how you think about your time, now you unlock the greatest key. The 5 levels of thinking. Giving yourself more and more time to focus on the higher levels of human thinking. To direct your time into more purposeful activities, more purposeful thinking. In this way, freeing yourself from the mental prison, freeing yourself from the time prison, working together in a cycle, opens up more ability to free more of your thinking, opens up more of your time. So we've talked about these prisons for work, financial, and time. As ways that we become stuck in life, but that in each case, we go so far in freeing ourselves when we first free ourselves from the prison of the mind. In doing this, we navigate the sewer traps that keep us stuck. We find the keys and unlock all of our opportunities for surviving our sewer society, becoming more and more free. And now from here, we're going to go even deeper. Because this isn't just about escaping the mental prison, is it? It's not just about getting from negative thinking to positive thinking. It's not just freeing our minds, but going far beyond freedom to building your limitless mind. For in every way, becoming more and more free. And in this track, this is what we're going to do together. We're going to cover these notions of being limitless. Talk about the 2 forces in our mind and society that work against us. We're then going to drop down into 2 key frameworks for becoming more free. And then talk about 5 sewer traps and 5 keys to becoming more free. So let's dive into the prison of the mind and swim through the sewers, navigate the sewer traps, and get more free. Let's talk about being limitless. As I said at the opening of this track, the topic of the mind is the topic of my life. It is the most interesting topic to me, and the one that I perceive to be the most important in our lives. The negative side of it is how do we get rid of those things that hold us back? In this track, we'll talk about limited thinking and 5 types of limited thinking: depression, anxiety, fear, worry, insecurity. But that's the small part. I know the whole world of psychology is baffled by these things. Yet that's the small part. The massive opportunity when it comes to the mind is how limitless we can be. What are the limits of human potential? What are the limits of how amazing our thinking can be? This is what I spend my time on, limitless thinking. What does it take to unleash your mind? To unlock your mind? To unlock your greatest opportunity. To truly dream and scheme the most fantastical life you can imagine. To unleash yourself for taking powerful actions every day. To dream up who you imagine being and build yourself into this person. How limitless can we be? And what does it take to build our limitless minds? On my website, I have a free book for building your limitless mind, which is also included along with this masterclass. You'll also see there's another masterclass altogether, some 7 hours, on what it takes to truly get beyond limited thinking and build yourself limitless. You'll see my approach is hardcore. It's extreme because that's what I perceive this task to be. I have never in my life come across anything more challenging than the mind. And in my mind, it requires a solution that is extreme. Not a couple affirmations a day or 5 minutes of meditation thinking that you're actually training the mind, but hardcore training. And in my book, you'll see there's 3 steps to this system for building your limitless mind. Step 1, how do you choose your thinking? Specifically, how do you choose your thinking? The first thing to understand is that we can choose our thinking. So many of us are victims to our minds. Anxiety, fear, depression, insecurity, every other ailment, this ADHD epidemic. These things that we think are happening to us. Opioid epidemics, obesity, victims of our minds. We can learn to choose our thinking, but it takes will and skill, and only we can dedicate ourselves to training the mind. And it requires more than dedication, requires more than deciding we want to get mentally fit. Like deciding you want to get physically fit. It requires training, requires exercises. What are these exercises for conditioning the mind, training the mind, as you would train the body? Cardiovascular exercise for getting fitter. A machine for your biceps, one for your chest, one for your legs. What type of performance tools do you harness for building your mental muscles the same way? And again, the approach you see in my book is extreme. It's not about an exercise here and there. It's daily exercises. In the same way that you don't get in shape at the gym working out once a year. You do it when you do it repeatedly. And daily exercises aren't even enough in my book. You also need continuous exercises. In the same way that anyone who's serious about being in shape is doing it continuously. They're watching every calorie, working out all the time, because it's continuous practice to get in shape and stay in shape. And the same is true with deeply conditioning the mind. The third type of practice goes beyond daily and continuous practices to harnessing evolutionary tools. How do you truly evolve your mind? Again, I don't mean to joke about meditation. Meditation is a weak tool, by the way. Especially 5 minutes a day. That's the equivalent of doing half a push-up every week, expecting to get strong. To truly evolve your thinking, you need powerful evolutionary tools that you apply consistently for building your limitless mind. They're the first 2 steps. Choosing your thinking, harnessing performance tools. But the system for building your limitless mind takes it 1 massive step further. It's not enough to know that you can exercise and get in shape. It's not enough to know you can choose your thinking and harness performance tools. You want a training program for your mind, a way of structuring out your training so that you're not relying on the tools, not relying on a little bit of motivation here and there. But in the same way you get in shape at the gym, you're building this strength through discipline, through a systematic approach to building your limitless mind. And I told you, this is hardcore. This is extreme. Because this is what I perceive is demanding of the task. Getting beyond negative thoughts is hard enough, let alone building your mental muscles of being stronger and better, harder and faster every single day. Takes an extreme approach. Building your limitless mind. And let's talk about two reasons why it takes an extreme approach. These are two forces that are working against our minds. Two forces that keep us stuck in the mental prisons. One is on the inside, the other's on the outside. The first force working against us is our brain and our bodies. The fucking force that keeps us most stuck in our minds is us. And it's not our fault. It's a product of our biology. We are survival machines. We're not happiness machines. We're built to survive. Our biology is built to keep us alive. And the mechanisms of survival are very different to the mechanisms that make for a limitless mind. Take just one, the fear response. Why are we so anxious? Why are we so fearful in life? Because it's hardwired into us. The caveman on the plains of Africa, who wasn't fearful of getting eaten by a lion, his name was Lunch. We're built to respond to fear because it keeps us alive. It's just that our brains have turned this fear into fear of missing an email, into anxiety of being overwhelmed by a to-do list, rather than what it takes to survive in the wild. Our brains are built with a negativity bias. Many of us know this. But what does it really mean? It means we're fucked from the inside. Our brains are built to bias negative information, to first process everything through a filter of negativity. We store this information in our brains so we can get to it faster. It's not our fault. Why is negative thinking so pronounced? Why do we talk about positive thinking? Because it doesn't come naturally. Because it can take will and skill and training and conditioning to overcome the biology that's working against us. Now, we'll say this isn't all of us. There's a powerful idea in psychology called our happiness set points. Some of us are built with more joy than others. Yet no matter where your biology starts, only you can choose how good you are at training your mind to be limitless. That's the first force that's working against us in being limitless, on the inside. Our brains, our biology. The second force, arguably, the most destructive force on the planet, and certainly the topic of this masterclass, our sewer society working against us. Why does our society make it so hard for us? Is it just because we're all built with this negativity bias? So our society's biased towards negativity. Is that why the news is the worst shit that happened today? Is that why it is that way? Or is it that our society knows how we're built and is constantly manipulating us emotionally? Who's to know? But what we do know is that our sewer society reinforces so many of these challenges in our own brains that keep us more stuck in limited thinking and make it much harder for us to build our limitless minds. No matter what reason our society is built the way that it is, one thing is for sure. What are you ever taught about building your limitless mind? You spend 20 years in school and have your brain stuffed full of mostly useless information. But who ever teaches you anything about your processes of cognition. Whoever teaches you anything about using your mind. Whoever teaches you anything about the way our minds keep us trapped. Fear, worry, exam anxiety. Does anyone ever teach us anything to actually get our minds in the right place for sitting an exam? Let alone whoever teaches you anything about building your limitless mind, about knowing how your brain works and harnessing limitless ways of thinking. Whoever teaches you limitless imagination, limitless energy, limitless focus, limitless motivation. And of course, our society doesn't just fail us in school. Societal forces are working against us our entire lives. Consider these sewer traps from our society. The stimulant sewer trap. Whoever taught us that we need coffee to get started in the day? Oh, I gotta start your day with a coffee. Really? Do kids start their day with a coffee? Or does that just happen as you get older? Are we just like Pavlov's dogs? Someone rang a bell. We all became conditioned to drink coffee. Who says we need these stimulants? What about the pills? Jacking ourselves up just to get up and get on with our day. Jacking our kids up on speed to get them through their school day. The stimulant sewer is normal in our society, as is the other side of it, what we use to bring ourselves down at the end of the day. The alcohol and drug sewers. It's normal to have a drink. If you go somewhere and you don't drink, you know what you hear? Why don't you drink? Why the fuck do you drink? Why do you poison your body? Because you have no skill of escaping that mind. See, rather than actually teaching us how to condition our minds, our society conditions us to drink and sedate our minds. We have these stimulants, right? Rather than teach kids to focus, we give them a pill. Rather than teach adults to train their minds to let go of stress, worry, anxiety, fear, overwhelm, we tell them to have a bud. Just kick back. Have a bud. Glass of wine, that's good for you. How does your head feel the next day? That's the test as whether it's good for you. In our society, offers absolutely zero intelligence on the way we can train ourselves to be more and more limitless. But instead, offers us many great tools we can pay for in lots of ways to sedate ourselves and escape our pain. And these escapes are everywhere in our society, aren't they? The media sewer trap. You can escape your boredom by reading the news. We talk about fake news like it's some revelation. Go to CNN and you see a story spun very differently to Fox News. Is one of them right? One of them wrong? No, they're both right. Right for programming our society, offering the propaganda that keeps the right people hooked, addicted, escaping from their lives, escaping into the worst news of the day. The media sewer trap, preying on our fears, our worries, our insecurities. How often do you go to the news and feel better? You might feel better because you had fear and anxiety and they confirmed it. Then you can go talk to people about it. Spread the fear and anxiety. But anybody who cuts off that tap, who stops wasting their time on the sewer of media, already feels better. And of course, not only are you freeing yourself from the mental prison that the media sewer reinforces, but you're freeing yourself from the time prison we talked about, and all these distractions. The entertainment sewer is just as bad. We may not be showing up at the Colosseum and seeing a gladiator slay someone. You turn on the TV and what do you see? Murder for entertainment. Drama, murder, violence. We all think it's good fun to tune in for our nightly dose of murder. Yet we don't think it's very fun when it happens in the real world, do we? When someone shoots up a school, we may be just as sucked into that entertainment. But we hardly talk about it like it's a good thing. You don't go to work the next day and talk about, oh, how entertaining it was to watch someone shoot up a church. Yet this is the world that we live in, and what we propagate, because of these entertainment sewers. As we talked about, our society does nothing to help us build our limitless minds, but they offer us plenty of escapes from our pain. Preying on our weak emotions, boredom, loneliness. We have an internet full of porn. We celebrate this future where we'll have a chip in our head. You won't even need a computer. You could just go straight online and surf the web. Does that mean we're all going to be watching porn all day, directly into our heads? Or you can go online to social media. The honey traps that have been engineered to keep you there. The dopamine hits that you get from posting a picture that other people like so they can sell your information to advertisers. Just like the tried and true model of TV to monetize your boredom and loneliness and other negative emotions to sell you more junk, to keep you trapped more in the saving prison. The consumption prison. It's all a perfect loop, isn't it? The ways that our society preys on our biology. The forces that work against us to keep us more stuck, more trapped in the prisons of the mind. Then what about the greatest escape of all, the therapy prison? That's where you get to go to talk about your problems. How many people who go to therapy keep going to therapy? How many people going to therapy get put on a legal drug addiction? Popping pills for the rest of your life, telling yourself you're depressed, anxious. Even the shrinks failing to see that's the greatest placebo on the planet. What do you think happens when you wake up every day and think you need to take an antidepressant? Like Pavlov's dogs, you're conditioning yourself for depression every day. It seems obvious, unless you're in the world of psychology, where they get paid for you to talk about your problems and keep you stuck in them. Where do we think all these addictions come from in our society? People addicted to painkillers. People dying from the opioid addictions. Why? We have this war on drugs. Do we have a war on drugs? No, of course not. We have a war on the drugs that our government doesn't make money selling. Like speed. Remember the old days when it was a legal street drug? People would go to prison for dealing and using speed. Now it helps little Johnny get through school. Now it's the miracle drug to solving all of his problems. He just needs to be on speed. They don't do well in school. Yet when do you ever hear our licensed drug dealers talk about training focus? And do our kids really have ADHD? How many of them struggle to focus on a video game or something that's actually engaging and fun? Isn't the disease school is boring for people? Yet our society doesn't teach us this, do they? They just drug you up. You'll be good. Just put him on drugs for the rest of his life. These functions in our society that are meant to be serving us, to setting us more free, keeping us more stuck in the sewer society, more stuck in the prisons of our minds. What about the sewer of obesity? Doesn't make any sense, does it? I mean, I just don't get it. Got thousands of diet and exercise books, gyms everywhere. Why are people getting more obese? Because obesity has nothing to do with our bodies. Our bodies can't get fat on their own, in the same way they can't exercise on their own. All of the problems in our society that relate to weight gain are problems in the mind. And until we can actually serve people and help people become more free from the prison of the mind, they never become free from obesity of the body. But our society, what do we do for them? We pretend not to shame people who are overweight, yet we show them beauty everywhere. We judge people. We make it seem like they just need to get more discipline around eating, or they just need to exercise more. No. Our society needs to do more for people to help free them from the prison of the mind that traps them in the obesity of the body. Oh, and I say for last, my favorite social sewer trap. Other people. As we talked about in the time prison, we stay so busy because we hate to spend time alone. And we spend time with other people because we hate to spend time alone. How much of our time are we truly wanting to be with those other people around us versus just lonely on our own? And if we could spend our time around people who lift us up, who make our lives better, who inspire us to live our greatest lives, who point out all the ways that we're great, who help us become more than we are, then society would only reinforce our limitless minds. But because so many people are swimming in the mental sewers, so many people drag us down. The social sewer is that misery loves company. And so many people's definition of being social is whining about their job, or whining about the news of the world. And if, truly, we love being social with other people, then why do we almost always have to be drinking to do it? People say to me they're very social. I ask them, how often are you social without alcohol? How much time do you love being with other people when you're not drinking? Really, how many social events do not include drinking? So are we being social with people? Or are we being social drinking? And when we're with other people, are we really with them? Are they really with us? Or are we all sitting there in our own head thinking of something else? Our minds never present, whirling off into some other place. Or worse, sitting there on our fucking devices. Oh, how often do you see that? People sitting together in a restaurant, each of them on their devices. Are they really there to be there together? How many people in your social circles really care about you when you're with them? How interested are they in you? How much time do they spend talking about you, listening to you, building you up? Or are they dragging you down? And herein, with both of these forces, also lies a massive, 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 massive key to being limitless. See, it's easy for me to beat up on all the social crap. There are so many forces in our society that are working against us. Yet, there's so many forces that can work for us if only we can flip it the other way. I've spent so much time in my life alone doing this work. Quickly, cutting off people who drag me down into their mediocre realities. Dreaming of surrounding myself with the people who lift me up. To over time find more and more of these people. To the point where my version of society is one that builds me up. I never indulge the news. I never indulge people who drag me down into their crappy news, or the crappy news of the world. Yet I've sought out those people who bring me great news, who build me up, who I build up, where together we create a positive vortex of energy, an upward spiral, where we spin each other up more and more and more, inspiring, lifting each other up more and more and more. And there's so much opportunity in our society to escape these negative forces and to seek out those influences and the people who reinforce you being more and more limitless. And if you don't have enough of these people in your life, cut the others out. Be so good being on your own. Cut out all those negative influences from our society. Transform yourself, becoming more and more limitless. And just watch. Amazing people coming into your life. Okay, so they are two of the forces that are working against us. Now let's talk about two key frameworks for becoming more and more limitless. The first key framework, we already talked about in the last track, the three definitions of freedom. And as I laid up there in summary, when I was a kid growing up without money, I thought when I had money I'd be more free. That led me to a great job where I made good money, only to discover that I wasn't living the life I truly wanted. And I believed that when I had time and money, then I'd be more free. But leaving that job, and then eventually leaving Wall Street to do this, I saw time and money, and doing what you want, doesn't make you free. Unless you're free in the mind. So first I thought money was freedom. My second definition was time and money, the third. And the only true definition of freedom is being free in your mind. And here again, rather than telling you a long Malcolm Gladwell-esque story, I lay it up for you simply because I want to talk more about how it fits with this masterclass. We've been talking about it all the way through, haven't we? The work prison, financial prison, time prison are all prisons for the mind. So what you see is they're prisons within the prisons. Even once you escape, there's another until you're able to create true freedom in your mind. How many people get a great job to discover they feel stuck? Only a couple of months ago, I ran into these young guys who had just started jobs at Goldman Sachs. They're already whining about their jobs, talking about it like it was servitude. So I asked them, "How did you feel when you got the call and they said you had that job?" And you saw all of their faces light up. Because we trap ourselves in these work prisons by trapping ourselves in our minds. How many people make their money but are still unfulfilled? They may have solved for the WMT triangle, work, money, time. Yet, they still find themselves stuck in the prison of the mind. How many of us consume and get something new, only to have that feeling wear off? to once again find ourselves in this feeling of lack, that again we need something new in order to fill us up. Well, people retire, they've earned their money, build a great life, raised a great family, but they still have all those cats and dogs running around, haunting them in their minds. Without their job, who are they? What's their identity? How does the world value them? How are they measured? What meaning do they have in their lives? See, and this is one of the myths of escaping the 9-to-5. Then what? What's your purpose in life? What do you spend your time doing? What deeply matters to you? And so we see that no matter where you are in your life, whether you get free of the work prison, you may have freed your time, but now what do you do with your time? Where do you find meaning in having idle time? Maybe you can, maybe you can't, yet it all comes back to how good you are in finding freedom in the mind. Because this is the ultimate prison and the ultimate escape. You can be free in the work prison, free in the financial prison, free in the time prison, when you're free in your mind. Think about what we learned from Viktor Frankl in the Nazi concentration camps. He wasn't teaching how to break free of the prison. He wasn't like Andrew Dufresne, talking about ways to tunnel out of the concentration camps and be free. He said, they can imprison your body, but they can never get inside your mind. You can always choose your thoughts. You can always choose how you think and feel. And when you become free of the mind prison, when you become highly skilled at the way you choose your thinking, no matter what your circumstances, you can always be free. And this is what I've learned in the three definitions of freedom. Freeing yourself of the work prison. Freeing yourself financially. Freeing your time. You can never be free until you free your mind. And when you free your mind, you can still be imprisoned in your time, imprisoned financially, imprisoned in your work. But be free. We can always be free right now when we learn to free our minds. Because there is no escape from the prisons. To leave work behind still requires you to find purpose and meaning in your life. Freeing your time to do what? Watch more TV? Surf more porn? Eat more food? Hang out with more of the same people talking about more of the same stuff? Or is it to free yourself from the bondage to find great purpose in your work, great purpose in your time? Because you've set yourself free, finding great purpose in your mind. And this is the second key framework. It's not about escaping. It's not about freedom. It's about living a life of true purpose. And this is what I discovered in my three definitions of freedom. I thought when I had money, I'd be free. But I was using all my time. When I had time and money, I would be free. But I wasn't, was I? What I discovered was I didn't want to be free. I didn't want to be idle. I wanted to find what deeply matters to me and do it every day. I wanted to find my deepest purpose, a great mission for my life, a mission in the world. To unlock my greatest sense of who I am and why I'm here. This became my true definition of being free. Freedom to live your purpose might be the ultimate freedom of the mind. How do you unleash this for you? And this is a thing we talked about on Great Purpose. It's not a big, great thing, is it? It's to be purposeful right now. You can unleash more and more purpose in your work where you are right now by choosing to be more purposeful. Even if you hate your job, as soon as you decide to be more purposeful, you focus on how can you crush your current job? How can you be purposeful about moving forward, creating new opportunities? How can you unlock great purpose financially? Not just to escape the financial prison, but to find great purpose in your saving, great purpose in the way you consume, great purpose in earning more money and creating more and more value for yourself and for the world. And how can you unleash your money to do things of great purpose for other people? Again, it's a big thing, but it's a small thing. How can you be more purposeful right now today in the way you think about earning your income, in the way you're saving, consuming, more purposeful in the way you think about debt and investing? In yourself, in others, in financial investments. And how about your time? How can you unleash more and more of your time to be aligned with your greatest purpose? And it's a big thing, isn't it? At level 3. Allocating your time to highest purpose ideas, to who you're destined to be. Yet it's a small thing too, isn't it? At level 1, how can you be more purposeful about your day? Prioritize better. You may hate your job. You may hate what you're doing today. Yet, when you become more purposeful about what you're doing, and get absorbed in the flow with great purpose, already you're unleashing yourself to be more and more free. How do you bring more purpose to avoiding the sewer traps? Avoiding those things that steal your time, the thinking mind, feeling body, distractions. And all those things that keep us busy. How do you be more purposeful every day in unleashing more purpose in your time? Because this is the true definition of being free. Like Neo, he didn't wake up from his pod and be flushed out into the sewer so he could hang out in the quote-unquote real world. He didn't run around the Matrix telling people to free their mind. He got physically free. He removed the plugs. He saw reality for what it is. But he still wasn't free, was he? He now just found himself trapped in a bigger prison for his body and mind. And what was his true source of freedom? He wasn't done until he had gone back into the Matrix and transformed the world. Till he'd served a purpose much greater than himself and getting free. but a purpose in setting free other people, and ultimately, setting free the entire world. What does this mean for you? Not to just escape the prisons, to be flushed out the sewer and avoid the sewer traps, but to tap into your greatest purpose in your work, with money, with time, and to live a life of great purpose, ideally serving more than just yourself, serving others in their greater purposes, serving the world. So you see, in both of these key frameworks, we're talking about the ultimate freedom. Not in escaping work, escaping the financial prison, escaping the time prison, but the only freedom is when you're free in the mind. You don't even need to escape the prisons to be free in your mind. And second, it's not just freedom, is it? It's using your freedom to tap into living a life of great purpose. In this way, we're not just breaking out of the prisons and becoming free from something. We're free for something much greater. The purpose of our lives. So now we've spent time on the key frameworks and breaking out of the prisons. Let's talk about the sewer traps and the keys. Here we're going to cover 5 types of sewer traps and 5 keys.
These 5 sewer traps and 5 keys are the same as you'll see in my book for Building Your Limitless Mind. You'll see, as we talked about earlier, there are 3 parts to the system for building your limitless mind. The first is choosing your thinking. And that's where these sewer traps and keys fit in, which is you get to choose. Do you allow that mind that's set up to cycle some 70,000 mostly redundant, mostly negative thoughts to control your day? Or do you become highly skilled at the thoughts that you choose? Now, as you go deeper into the book, you'll see it's not that easy, is it? Or think about it this way. If happiness was natural and easy, why would it be a thing? Why would we even think about happiness? What would there be to think about? You would just choose to be happy. Yeah, I choose to feel amazing. I choose to be rich. I choose to be healthy. I choose to have amazing love in my life. Boom, shazam. Everything in your life as you imagine it being. Wouldn't that be amazing? And in some ways, this limitless reality is how I perceive reality. But it doesn't seem as easy as clicking your fingers or waving your wand and making it happen. And when it comes to the brain, the reason is for what I said before. It's a habitual machine. You think those mostly redundant thoughts because that's how the brain works. If you had to wake up every day and figure out whether your left shoe goes on your left foot or right shoe on your right foot, it would be highly inefficient. If you picked up your toothbrush and didn't know whether you use that to clean your feet or your teeth, and you had to figure it out every day, our thinking would be working against us. But the nature of habits is that the brain is a learning machine that learns mostly through repetition. And then it repeats those behaviors, those thoughts over and over again, laying deep pathways in the brain. And so it's not so easy as just deciding, you know, I'm going to choose my thinking today. I'm going to stop all my negative thoughts. I'm going to drive all my positive thoughts. Instead, it can take real conditioning. And this is exactly the same as the physical body, isn't it? You don't decide you want to have Popeye-type biceps and show up at the gym tomorrow, and boom, those massive pipes pop out, right? It takes repetition, takes training. It takes choosing your thoughts to show up there every day and to do what it takes to build that muscle. And mental muscle is built the same way. You choose to become highly skilled at stopping negative thinking, these sewers, and promoting positive thinking. An analogy that you will see in the book is to see your brain like a race car. And I think this is an apt analogy because the human brain is the most powerful machine on the planet. We have no clue how it even works, let alone how to build a learning machine that is anything like the human brain. And so if you see it like a Formula One race car, you see that you have all the power at your fingertips. And in that race car, the skilled pilot, on one foot, his left foot has the brake. On his right foot has the gas. With those two pedals, he controls all the power in his machine. The left foot slows him down, holds him back. Just like negative thinking, limited thinking, the sewer of human thinking. The right foot moves him forward. This is positive thinking. These are the keys to building your limitless mind. And to get highly skilled at driving your human machine, you want to be highly skilled at the way you use the gas and use the brakes. Because you get to choose those thoughts that hold you back and slow you down, and those thoughts that propel you forward. See, and here's something as well that's an important distinction on thinking, is that it's not like negative thinking is bad and positive thinking is good. It just is. So for instance, one of the sewer traps of thinking we've already talked about and we'll talk about more is fear. Fear holds us back in so many ways. It is one of the diseases of thinking in our society, but without fear, how would you be? How would you be crossing the road like one of those crazy people who just walks across the road in the middle of traffic? Fear keeps us safe. Fear is our best friend. Sometimes we want to and need to slow down. And gas isn't always good either. A car accelerating quickly into a corner, you better be a highly skilled pilot to be driving faster into a corner. So becoming highly skilled at the way we choose our thoughts is knowing what thoughts you want to choose and then developing skill at choosing them. So let's dive into the five sewers and five keys we're going to cover here, which are the same as the book. The first two sewers I grouped together as the big two, anxiety and depression. Can never talk about these. These are the hidden sewers in our society. So many people suffer from them, but you can't talk about it. The next is worry, the next is fear, and then we'll talk about insecurity. The five keys: limitless motivation, limitless focus, limitless energy, limitless imagination, limitless you. As I said earlier, I'm not going to be going through these in any level of detail. And I encourage you to go through them in the book, and you may also want to go through them in the masterclass. Before we start here as well, I want to give you a medical disclaimer. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not a licensed medical professional. I'm never here offering medical advice. These types of limited thinking we're covering are extremely challenging for people. And never take my word for it. If you're suffering these problems, seek every solution, medical and otherwise, to help solve these problems for you. So let's talk about the big two, depression and anxiety. These are massive in our society, but we can't talk about them. Right? They're shameful, when really what they are is just ways of thinking. See, part of the sewer trap of our society is that they shame these topics. They call them mental health issue. Oh, you have mental health issues. Does a car have a driving issue because someone left the handbrake on? Is there something wrong with it?
Or is it just a switch that needs to get changed? Then we say, oh, that celebrity's so brave, coming out and talking about depression. Really? Is someone brave for talking about putting the brakes on in their car? Or accidentally leaving the lights on in their house when they went to sleep? These things just are. And when we see that we all suffer from them, rather than pretending that we don't, you see it on people's faces. They walk around, how you doing? I'm great. I'm great. They're not fucking great. You know they're not fucking great. You know how you know? Because it's written all over their face. It's written in their behaviors. By definition, if someone turns into the news, they're not great. It means their brain is stuck in fear. Otherwise, they wouldn't tune in. If people drink, by definition, they're not great. They might say they are. But by definition, if you drink, you send a signal to your brain that you feel better, sedated. By definition, you feel worse, not sedated. And I know I'm being an overly generalized jerk here, but define great. How many people feel truly fucking amazing every day? Clinical depression, clinical anxiety is just a scale that nearly every single one of us in our society fits onto. Do you ever feel like, what's the point? Just don't see how to get through this. Oh, I just don't have the energy. You know what? I just can't do this right now. That's just depression. They are depressed thoughts, meaning the opposite of great thoughts. Now, I know some shrink with their little book would be able to read out their three-paragraph definition of what it is. But like most things, they are totally wrong. And they're just as wrong in the way they try and solve these problems. They don't have any solutions. You sit and talk about your depression, getting more depressed. When anyone who's a pro at this knows, just change someone's physiology. Get them smiling, get them moving. Jumping up and down saying, fuck yeah, for 3 minutes, how depressed do you feel? Depression is a bad use of the energy in the human body-mind machine. Pump it up, get excited. And it's a bad use of the computer known as the brain. You can only be depressed when you're in a depressed energy. Oh, just don't. And then you're allowing the brain to focus on things that make you more depressed. Oh, I just don't want to go to work today. Oh, waking up tired, hitting snooze. Oh. Where would that depression be if a lion bounced into the room? Do you think you'd find some energy? Where would it be if your job was to go and have sex with someone who was amazing? Right, these things are all happening in the head, and when we become highly skilled at the way we use our bodies and minds, we get beyond these patterns. Again, I'm going to repeat my medical disclaimer. Some shrink listening to this will say, he doesn't know, it's a chemical imbalance. What does he know about depression? You know what I know? How to solve it. Not how to talk about it for years and give people pills that reinforce their depression. Anxiety. And I know I sound like an arrogant fucking jerk. I'm not. I'm confident because I've built the skills over 20 years to actually solve these things in people's brains. And all of us suffer from this stuff to some extent. And it all comes back to the way we use our bodies and minds. Again, medical disclaimer, this is not medical advice, but do it for yourself. Bounce up and down for a few minutes. Saying, I feel amazing. Awesome. This is awesome. And when you stop, you might revert back to the old depression, but you train yourself to learn something new, don't you? That you can change it at will. Not sitting down talking to a shrink or popping your little pills. Anxiety is the same. What is anxiety? It is using the brain badly. Again, there's an energy in the body which registers as something like excitement. Because isn't the feeling of anxiety and excitement much the same? Like an agitation. and anxiety is using the brain to write a crappy movie. To look into the future and see a negative outcome is all anxiety is. Now, clinical anxiety, people can't break out of it, but we all suffer this to some degree. Looking forward, imagining a crappy outcome, getting fearful, producing overwhelm, not knowing how you're going to solve it. It is this easy. Again, not medical advice, but so many people get stuck in these sewers and have no way out.
When you can see you're doing it to yourself in the brain.
Sewer trap number 3 is a lighter version of this, worrying. It's all the same thing, isn't it? What's the difference between anxiety and worry? Yes, I know some shrink is going to have some little definition that they studied and memorized, but what's the difference? What is worry but running a crappy program in the brain? And think about worry. We worry about things that have already happened. Yeah, I come out of a meeting. You worry, well, how did it go? How does that worry serve you? You know it never does, yet it's a program that's running in the brain. And we get to choose to swim out of that sewer trap. How? How do you not escape worry? Only by reinforcing worry. You got something coming up in the future. What's there to worry about? Well, you can be worried you might not get the outcome you want. Are you being in the present? Are you loving the journey, or are you focused on the destination? The cure for future worry is preparation, isn't it? How many people are scared, terrified of public speaking? Why? Because competence builds confidence. Anything that you're worried about is trying to grasp onto control, is a lack of competence at thinking and a lack of competence at doing. Think about the stock market. Just worried where the market's headed. How's that working for you? You got zero control over it. Zero way to cure that worry. Because it's going to be what it's going to be. The only choice you get to make is, are you prepared if it craps out? Or even if it goes up? Because people worry it goes up and they weren't positioned well to make money. Our society's a sewer of these negative emotions. Our brains are swimming in this mental sewer. And we can so easily elevate ourselves out of it. Only when we become skilled at choosing our thinking. Fear. You can see how easily the negative pattern of fear, the limited thinking of fear, fits with all the things we've talked about. Most of what we fear is irrational. And it's not our fault. Fear is our best friend. It's who we go to in the worst times. Our best friend that protects us from all the things that might hurt us. It's just our best friends become overly sensitive. Millions of years ago, our best friend was helping protect us from that lion. Today, it's fearful. What will people think if I write this on Facebook? Be fearful to even be on Facebook in that sewer wasting your time. If you go through the things that hold you back that are fear, you see so many of them as stupid. Come back to the work prison. How many people are stuck in jobs they hate because they fear change? They fear, well, better the devil you know. Oh, what if this happens and what if that happens? You only get one shot to get this right. We load up so much fear in our neurology, it keeps us stuck in the work prison. Financial prison is the same. I know so many people who are so rich but live in fear. They're terrified of not having enough money, but they're so rich. If you told them that, they would agree but disagree. Well, you never know what will happen. You never know if you're going to have enough. Right. And if you allow that fear to dominate your life, you'll only ever live a limited life. Fear is a massive sewer trap to all of these prisons. Insecurity. We've been talking about insecurity in the context of financial, haven't we? But insecurity is like bad television. It's everywhere. So many people have this thing they call the imposter syndrome, don't they? Well, it's just a matter of time before people figure out I'm not very good. It's everywhere. Insecurity in relationships. Insecurity with money. Insecurity in our careers is what holds us back from taking those actions to be truly great at what we do, to go for that job we truly want. We must believe in ourselves, believe in our capability. And so how do you break out of this sewer of insecurity? The same way you break out of the sewer trap of fear and worry, anxiety and depression. You must build the mental muscle to swim yourself free of these sewer traps. It's not easy. This is why I built this hardcore solution. You want to become highly skilled at the way you choose your thinking. You want to develop performance tools you put to work every day. And you want to train it like a motherfucker, using continuous tools all the time, training it. Daily exercises, training it every day. And if you want to get beyond the negative patterns, the negative ways the brain is built, then you want to harness the evolutionary tools and evolve yourself, evolve your thinking every day. And that covers the sewer traps of thinking, the five types of limited thinking you'll see in the book. Now, if I was a shrink, I would think my job was done now. Right? If they were any good at actually getting people beyond those problems, they would consider job done. To me, that's the basics. Getting someone out of anxiety or depression, that's the absolute necessity. But if you leave someone there, what have you really done for them? And this is where the limitless thinking is at. These are the real keys to becoming limitless. Forget about all those sewer traps. How do you keep swimming and swimming and swimming, getting stronger, more powerful, in building yourself limitless every day? This is why the system for your limitless mind works the way it does. It's easy for me to get someone beyond anxiety, yet it's not easy for me to help them become limitless. Just like someone training at the gym. This is showing up every day and training yourself to get stronger, building these mental muscles, becoming more and more limitless every day. Limitless motivation. Gosh, how much do we want this? The key to unlocking all human potential. Limitless motivation. How much more would be possible for you if your mind was limitlessly motivated to be able to look out into your life, see what you want it to be, and just keep moving forward? Come back to the work prison. How much would you swim yourself free all the way to great purpose, honing in on your grandest vision and moving towards it every day? Financial prison. What wouldn't be possible for you if you could tap into your limitless motivation? The time prison, how motivated are you to free your time for your greatest purpose? Again, I'm not going to go into any detail on how you do this, but I'll give you two keys. One, what's the opposite of motivation? You know what it is? It's that depression we talked about. Yes, I know most people won't define it that way, but that's what it is. And what are the two things of that depression? Using the body in a crappy way. Right, so get up and get fired up. People say, oh, I need something to get fired up about. No, you don't. You get yourself fired up, and now you're fired up. Two, it's what we focus on. I laugh because I think of how I used to be. I'm not ripping other people, I'm ripping me too. Waking up, oh, don't want to go to work today. Well, how the fuck do we expect to feel? Of course we go in there feeling like, oh, bleh. We're focused on things that lead us to feel that way. Versus looking for things that get us motivated. Looking for things that we like about it. The same with working out. Oh, I just don't feel like working out. We're imagining it being hard or imagining us not enjoying it. Versus focus on those things that get us motivated. And I don't mean to imply all this is really easy. It's not. This is why the System for Your Limitless Mind has a training program in it. And 3 key steps that you put to work every day in becoming highly skilled at this. The second key is limitless focus. And this one is one I feel very, very strongly about because it saddens me. It saddens me that parents who think they're doing the best for their kids are jacking them up on speed. That all they want to do is do the best they can for their kids, and the best our society offers them is an illegal street drug rebranded as a drug for ADHD. If you tested most of the adults on the planet, they would suffer ADHD. Yes, I'll offer my medical disclaimer again. I'm not a medical doctor. I'm not offering medical advice. And I'm sure there are some kids out there who legitimately have this thing called ADHD. But again, I question every kid who is diagnosed ADHD, which task do they not have it at? Video games? How many of them struggle to focus on playing video games for 8 hours? Focus is a skill, and it might be the most important skill in life. Is your ability to focus in on what truly matters and to be able to see it all the way through. This is the escape from the work prison, the financial prison, the time prison. Your ability to focus, and it is only a skill. It's a highly teachable skill, a highly trainable skill, but only when we do things to actually train it. For all the people out there who say, oh, I just can't focus, what are they doing to train it? Because our world offers a plethora of sewer traps that enable us to not focus. Constantly switching tasks, constantly having information thrown at us. But what does it actually take to focus? And how easy is it to train focus by training focus? Limitless energy. What is this about? This is a deeper topic than limitless motivation, right? It's not just bouncing around getting yourself fired up. What is energy about? Nutrition. Sleep. The way we think. Remember, we talked about how much energy you burn using that thinking mind. There's lots of things that come back to energy as we talked about in the time prison. Yet, what's the most important thing here? Awareness. Seeing that there's all these levers you can pull that impact your energy, and then making conscious choices to choose how you manage your energy. We all know a big lunch doesn't produce a high energetic afternoon. What about drinking every night? Who expects to wake up feeling their best after drinking every night? Would we imagine a pro athlete going on a bender before waking up on game day? Energy, motivation, focus, these things are skills that we can train limitlessly, but only when we choose to do this. We harness new ways of being. Key number 4, limitless imagination. This might be my favorite one here because it's a mindfuck for many adults. We become so narrow-minded that we get so stuck. As a kid, you could imagine getting married to the boy or girl next door, or robbing a bank with your friends, We can go ride a bike thinking you're on a horse. You can imagine anything and none of it's stupid. Yet as adults, if I say to people, why don't you dream of the career you truly want? Well, that's not possible. Why do we get stuck in the prisons of our work, of our time, financially? Because we can't imagine a better outcome. Let alone every day train ourselves to open and flex our minds, to imagine what might be and be able to keep moving towards it. And that's why, again, none of this is easy, but it's easy to train. Ask yourself, what are you doing to train your imagination? A taboo here, hypnosis. Hypnosis is an amazing tool for imagining things that never were. So is sitting down every day and just writing up 10 new ideas. There's so many ways to exercise our imagination and build ourselves more and more limitless. And this is the key, right? If you can imagine all the opportunities in your career, you can imagine ways to create new income. If you can imagine lots of ways to reallocate your time, well, aren't you already free of these prisons that bind us? The fifth key to getting more and more free and building your limitless mind is limitless you. This is the opposite side of insecurity, but it's a bigger topic as well. Who do you dream to be? Who is that limitless version of you? So many of us know the limited version. Oh, just don't feel like going to work today. Just don't have enough money. Just worried about where this is headed. Just never have enough time. Never enough time to get done those things you want to get done. We all very know what it means to be limited. But what does it mean to be this limitless version of you? How do you build it? How do you imagine yourself being? What do you choose to do and think differently today? To break yourself free of these prisons, to navigate the sewer traps, becoming more and more limitless every day. Now this brings us to the end of the traps and the keys, and to the end of this track. And I'm just going to leave you with two exercises. The first, go through the book we've included with this, The System for Building Your Limitless Mind, and really hone in on some of the ideas in there. What it means to become more and more limitless, how you choose your thinking, some of the performance tools for how you specifically do this every day. And the third part, the notion of building a training program for building your limitless mind. And I can't emphasize enough, this is a skill. Building mental muscle takes more than reading a few books and meditating 5 minutes a day. It takes dedicating yourself the way you build physical muscle. And what you find too is like building physical muscle, it's addictive. Once you start doing this, once you get good at this, it's something you want to do more and more every day. The second exercise here is where the rubber hits the road. Don't just read the book, but I can't recommend enough that you take the ideas in there and you define a training program for you. It might be really, really basic. You might just choose to change some ways of thinking. You might choose to define a couple of exercises you do a couple times a day. Whatever it is, get yourself working on it and building your mental muscle for breaking more and more free of the mental prison. Because as we've been talking about all along, this is the master key to breaking out of the work prison, the financial prison, the time prison. Are all prisons within the prison of the mind. And when you break out of the mental prison, you're already more and more free.
Now this brings us to the end of this track, and also to the end of the training tracks in this masterclass. The final track, coming up next, the deep learning track, is a different type of learning. Unlike these training tracks that we've been going through, where we're covering ideas and you're listening along, you're doing some work on your own, the deep learning track, it's designed for you to just sit back and listen and allow all of the ideas we've covered in this program to become deeply integrated in your mind. For some of you, this might be a new type of learning experience, and I know you'll get a lot from it. And I hope you've gotten a lot of value from this track and from the previous four tracks as well. And I look forward to catching up with you in the next track where we deeply integrate this masterclass inside your mind.